If you're ready for the word, let's take your Bibles or your phones, whatever you use, and turn to Matthew chapter 14.
Yeah, we're in the New Testament tonight, aren't we?
Matthew chapter 14. All right, Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to look at verse number 22. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. All of you have heard it before, but we're going to pull out some things that can relate to your life. Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse number 22, and let's look at it. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples to get into the boat before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening had came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And so he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Tonight, just for a few moments, I want to preach on the thought, it's time to get out of the boat. Amen. Say that with me tonight. It's time to get out of the boat. Look to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, "You've been in the boat too long. Get out of the boat." Father, we thank you for this time that we have to look at your word. We pray that your word would go forth in power. Your word would go forth in boldness. And I pray that everything that is said and everything that is done would always bring you the glory. And we will not fail to praise you for this. And everyone said, amen. Charles Dickens, in his 19th century novel, A Tale of Two Cities, said, "This is the best of times, and what? This is the worst of times." You know what? Sometimes that sounds, you know, it's contradictory. But when you think and ponder over that, there is much truth to that. That this is the worst of times, but yet this is the best of times. And sometimes someone once said that life is like a carousel. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down, sometimes you just go round and round. How many's ever felt that you've been on the carousel of life, not knowing whether you're up or down, and you're just going round and round? And we need some practical principles to remind us in the seasons of our life that we feel like we're down. Those seasons in life that we feel like that we're in the valley. Or those seasons in our life that we feel like that we're on the boat alone. And you see the wind and you see the waves. And you see absolutely no way of getting out of it. Tonight I want to bring you some encouragement from a familiar passage of Scripture that all of us have read before. I'm sure you've learned this story even in Sunday school. I'm reminded of what Paul said in the book of Romans. He said that everything that is written for our instruction and for our learning, so that we may obtain patience and hope in Christ. My friends, as we look at this story tonight, I'm hoping tonight that you will not only learn, but that this will be an example for you in the days ahead, how to navigate through difficult times of your life, the worst of times. Those seasons of your life that you don't feel like that you could ever, ever see God work again. Well, I want to remind you that the sun does shine and the birds will sing again. But let us hold on to some principles found in Scripture. You know, sometimes we claim the promises of God. We'll get up and we'll shout the promises of God, but we forget that there are some principles in Scripture. And if you don't fulfill and obey the principles, you can never obtain the promises of God. Can I hear an amen? In other words, you can't break the promises of God at the you can't claim the promises of God and at the same time break the principles of God. They both go hand in hand. And we have a lot of people in Christendom that claiming the principle of the promises of God, but they're breaking the principles of God. And so in order for you to have the promise, you got to obey the principle. Can I hear an amen? So what are some things that we can learn about this story? The story is that the disciples are on a boat, aren't they? And they're in a boat, and the Bible says in chapter 14 that the wind is boisterous. I mean, in other words, this is not a small storm. This is a major storm, and the disciples are in the boat, and they're very afraid. They're very frightened. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, verse number 22, that Jesus told his disciples to get in the boat. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples to get in the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Verse number 23, and when he sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain himself to pray. Now the evening was alone and he was alone there. The very first thing I want you to see is that number one, sometimes it is God's will that you're in the storm. Look at verse number 22. The Bible says that he made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side. Now, my friends, I've said this before, but I think it's noteworthy to say it again, is that not everything that happens to you is of the devil. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's a spiritual warfare, and I certainly believe in that. Sometimes it is a demonic attack, and sometimes it is the will of God that you go through something. Isn't it amazing that in the Old Testament, the tabernacle that God had Moses to construct on earth was not built on a mountain, but built on an even plain? Because God was trying to teach his people that you're not to live on those exalted experiences of your life. That you are to live a stable life. You're to live a life on even keel. You know, you can't live on mountaintop experiences all the time. We can't live in revival all the time. We can't do that. We can learn from it. But ultimately, the Holy Spirit wants us to walk in discipleship. And some of us want to cast something out of our life, and it won't come out of our life unless we're disciplined, unless we're discipled, unless there's spiritual formation in our life. God is concerned about discipleship. He's concerned about discipline. And so in the seasons of our life, the very first thing I want you to see is that sometimes it is God's will. God said to the disciples, Jesus said to the disciples, I want you to get in the boat. And he sent them on the boat. And isn't it interesting that Jesus went to the mountain to pray? And I want to let you know why you can go through what you can go through? Because you have somebody praying for you. Jesus is on the mountain praying. As the disciples are getting in the boat, they don't know what's ahead of them. They don't know what they're facing. They don't know what they're getting ready to go into. They don't know the storm that they're ready to go into, but Jesus was on the mountain praying. And my friends, some of you may not know what the future holds, but I want to remind you tonight, you have somebody that already knows and he's already praying for you. He's already praying for you. You may not know what the future holds. You don't know the storm that you might go through and the storm that you're headed towards. But there's somebody that's already praying for you. Jesus said to Peter, he said, the enemy desires to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith would fail not. And the reason that you can make it in the storm is because somebody is praying for you. And it's Jesus, the great intercessor, the great mediator. He's the one that's praying for you. Can somebody shout and say amen this morning, tonight? Hallelujah. Come on, somebody give God praise tonight. He's worthy. He's praying for you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that I pray all the time in my prayer life, there are certain things I'm repetitive about praying. And one of the things I pray all the time, and it comes from my heart, and I say this to the Lord, Lord, I pray for my future ministry, marriage, and life. I pray that I don't fall into sin. I pray that I don't fall into temptation, and I pray that I don't bring a disgrace to your name or to your church. But I pray that you would keep me, protect me, and preserve me all the way to the end. I have prayed that prayer for years. The reason I pray for that prayer for years is because I see so much hypocrisy. I see ministers falling left and right. I see churches embarrassed. I see people heartbroken because of failed leadership. Now, by no means I'm not perfect, but I want to make it to the end, my friends. I want to make it to the end. And one day I was praying after I heard about some ministers falling. I went to prayer and I said, Lord, I don't know what the future holds, but keep me safe in the palm of your hand. I want to end well. And I pray with that. And instantly the Holy Spirit reminded me and said, son, you've been praying for this for years, and I've already went before you in the future. Amen. Somebody say amen. He knows how to pray for you. Amen. Somebody be encouraged tonight. Be strengthened. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He says, I pray that you may endure to the end. I pray that you would endure to the end. You see, it doesn't matter how you start, but it sure does matter how you finish. So number one, God's will is sometimes you go through the storm. Amen. And you have to have spiritual discernment to know whether the storm is of the Lord or of the enemy or something that you've caused yourself. But if it's something that the Lord has put you in, I promise you, He is praying for you. Number two, I want you to see that He walks on the water. Amen. Well, that doesn't make much sense, does it? Well, just follow me. He walks on the water. You see, the disciples are upset. They're fearful, as you would be. And here the Bible says that, verse 24, but the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, is in the middle of the night. I mean, it's pitch black out. It's in the middle of the night. Verse number 25, the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Somebody say walking on the sea. So the very first thing you see here, the second thing you see here is that Jesus is walking on the sea. You know what interesting, Pastor Rhodes, is what I find here is that he is walking, listen to me, he's walking on the very substance that's rocking the boat. The very thing that's rocking the boat, which is what? Water. The very thing that's rocking the boat is the very thing Jesus is walking on. So you know what this teaches me? It teaches me this, that Jesus has everything under control when it appears everything is out of control. Did you hear what I just said? He has everything under control even when it appears like everything is out of control. The very thing that is rocking your life, the very thing, the wind, the waves, the water, the very thing that's rocking the boat, the very thing that's causing you to fear is the very thing that's under his feet. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that is shouting territory right there. Hallelujah. He has it all under control when it appears like it's out of control. He's walking on the very thing that is rocking the boat. Hallelujah. I want to let you know tonight, my friends, we serve a God that has everything under control. I know it seems like your life is out of control, but I want you to know he's walking on the very thing that's rocking your life. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody wave your hand and praise the Lord tonight. We serve an almighty God tonight. We serve an all-sufficient God. We serve an all-knowing God. We serve an omniscient God. We serve a sustainer of all things. We serve the King of the universe, the sovereign Lord. We serve the Lord of the ancient days. We serve the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the one that has it all under control. Amen. And people will almost send themselves to an early grave, trying to figure out what is going on in their life when you just need to be at rest in the middle of the sea, knowing that he's walking on the very thing that's rocking the boat. Look at number three. Look at verse number 26. Number three, you got to learn to trust his voice when you can't trust your vision. Now that's shouting territory right there. I'm going to say that again. You've got to learn to trust his voice when you can't trust your vision. I'm going to say it again. You got to learn to trust his voice when you can't trust your vision. Look at verse 26. Verse 26 says this. And when the disciples saw, everybody say saw. When they saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. What did they think they saw? They thought they saw what? So when you can't trust what you got to trust what you hear. Because what does Jesus say? Verse 27, immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, "Be of good cheer, for it is I. Be not afraid." They thought it was a ghost, but Jesus began to speak. My friends, sometimes what you see will destroy you. That is why you gotta tune up your spiritual ears and hear what the Lord is saying in spite of what you see. You have to trust him in spite of what you see. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. You got to trust him in spite of what you see. It's very easy to become discouraged by what you see around you. But you got to open up your ears and hear that the Lord is saying, "It is I. Be not afraid." Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing? Number four, isn't it amazing? This is interesting. That they heard his voice in the midst of the sea. Now hold on. They heard his voice in the midst of the sea. Look at verse 27. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Why is this important? Because sometimes in the storm of your life, you can't hear anyone speaking. Sometimes when you're in the middle of the storm, all you hear is what you want to hear. But this story teaches us. Now listen, in the middle of the storm, you have the ability to hear what nobody else is hearing. Woo! Somebody say amen. Yes! In the middle of the storm, you have the ability to hear what no one else is hearing. When somebody says, "Jump the ship," somebody says, "Give it up," somebody says, "It's not worth it," there is something on the inside of you that says, "Hold on a little longer. Trust me a little longer. Believe me a little deeper." You can hear what nobody else is hearing. And that is why everybody else will say, "I don't know how you made it." And you'll say, "I heard what nobody else was hearing in the middle of the storm." Can we just take a few moments and have a praise break up in here and realize that the Lord wants to speak to us in the storms of our life? Woo! I can hear what nobody else is hearing, Pastor. Well, you know, it's interesting. Listen, the salutation was this. The salutation don't match the situation. The salutation don't match the situation. Because what's the salutation? "Be of good cheer." What's the situation? "I'm going to drown. The wind is boisterous." It don't match. Well, guess what? When you're in the storm, sometimes the word don't match the situation. Woo! Somebody shout right there. Sometimes people think you're crazy. You're crazy, preacher, for believing that. It don't match. But baby, keep on believing, because I can hear what nobody else can hear. Woo! Listen, I would rather stand on the sea with the Savior than to sit on a ship that looks like it's going to sink. Hallelujah. It's interesting to me. Look at verse 28. Go down to verse 28. "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, If it is you, command me to come on the water. He can't trust what he see. He had to lean on what he heard, because verse 29, so he said, come. And Peter came down out of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. The next principle is that you got to confirm clearance before crossing. Confirm clearance before crossing. In other words, don't step out on faith just because you think it's a good idea. You ask the Lord, can I come? And the Lord says, yes, come. And we have a lot of people that's doing a lot of things that they don't got clearance before they cross. Somebody say amen. You can't step out. You can't just step out on assumption and think it's going to work. You got to have a word from the Lord. You see, my church was in Joplin. We were in a 9,000 square foot building. We moved 11 years ago to a 60,000 square foot building. People thought I was crazy. But I heard from the Lord. I was slain in the spirit. And the Lord said, "That's through a process of time, he said, that's where you need to go." And we've been there 11 years and saw God do miraculous things. We've seen growth. We've seen miracles financially because, my friends, you need to get clearance before crossing. Not everything that looks big is of God. Can I hear an amen? So clearance before crossing. Number five. Now listen to this. Peter walked on the water because of just one word. Come. And sometimes in your storm, you won't have much but just one word. Peter had to get out of the boat just with one word. And sometimes God will give you one word and you got to just go with that one word. You see, some of us want details. Well, Lord, tell me how this is going to work. And you know, when is this going to happen? You know, we want all the details. Well, if you have all the details, faith would not be involved. And you got to learn how to trust God when you can't trace God. And sometimes God will give you one word. He told Abraham one thing. Get up, take your family, and go to Mount Moriah. Go to the city in which the town and the country that I tell you to go. He didn't have time. Well, God, what town is that? What country is that? No, just get up, take your family, and go to the country that I tell you. When he took his son to Mount Moriah, he just told him, go to Mount Moriah. He didn't give him any details. Sometimes he will just give you the one word, and Peter had to trust the Lord with the one word. And it's interesting to me that Peter heard the Lord in the middle of the sea when the wind is blowing and the waves are crashing up against the boat. He heard the Lord. Because you have the ability to hear what nobody else can hear in the storm. It's interesting, we like to crucify Peter. Well, you know, he got out of the boat and he sank. Well, I don't know too many people that's willing to get out of the boat. My God, let's not crucify the man here. Let's give the man some credit. Come on, let's give him a cheeseburger. Let's give this man credit. We have a lot of boat talkers and few water walkers. A lot of boat talkers, but few water walkers. You know what the Lord wants us to do? Get out of the boat once in a while. Get clearance before crossing. Get a word from the Lord. Hear what nobody else can hear and go for it. Peter could have asked the disciples to help him. But you know why he didn't? Because you know what the disciples were doing? They were afraid. They were afraid. You got to watch who you help to help you. Peter realized they were too afraid. And isn't it amazing? The next point is that God, Jesus, is only a prayer away. Verse 30, he begins to sink. And what does Peter do? Lord, save me. And just then in verse 31, Jesus and Peter is having a conversation in the water. It's not what he said, it's where he said it. He said it right in the water. He went down saying, Lord, save me. I'm about to shout there. He went down saying, Lord, save me. My friends, you may go down, but just make sure you're praying when you go down. You may stumble a little bit. Just make sure you're praying when you fall. There's nobody in this room that's perfect. Every one of you will fall. Every one of you will probably sink. But the difference with Peter is he's praying as he's sinking. Hallelujah. He went down, but my friends, he didn't stay down. Hallelujah. He didn't stay down. My friends, your best worship comes out of the storm. Because verse 33, what happens? Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. My friends, I want to let you know the best worship happens when you come out of a storm. Some people will never understand your praise because they don't understand your condition. And my friends, when you've come through the storm, the automatic response is to worship. When you've come through the night watch, the automatic response is to worship. When you've come through the worst storm of your life, the automatic response is to worship. And that's why I love to get around people that's been through some things. They don't care if their mascara smears. They don't care what people think, because you can't judge their praise because you don't know their situation. And my friends, sometimes your best worship comes when we just begin to worship God. Amen. Somebody say praise God. Amen. So what can we learn in this story tonight? We can learn that sometimes it is God's plan that you go through the storm, but don't worry about it. He's praying for you. He's praying for you. You can learn that he walks on the very thing that's rocking your life. We learn tonight that you got to trust his voice even when you can't trust what you see. We learn tonight that you got to get confirmation with clearance before you cross. And we learned that Peter walked because of one word. We learned tonight that you can hear what nobody else can hear in the storm. We can learn that it doesn't matter if you fall, as long as you're praying if you fall. And your best worship always comes out of the worst storm of your life. My friends, what about it? Are you in the worst storm of your life? Are you in the storm where you feel like you need God to intervene? If you're not in a storm, you will go through a storm. You will eventually go through a storm. But whatever it may be, I want to encourage you that God is praying for you. May the Lord add the blessing to the preaching and the hearing of the word. And everybody shouted a great big amen. Would you stand to your feet and give the Lord a shout of praise? Amen. God is good. Amen. Come on, somebody give the Lord praise. Come on, somebody bless the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just take 30 seconds and give the Lord the best worship? Because I know some of you has been through a storm. Can we do that? Come on, give the Lord the best worship you could give him tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice and bless the Lord. Clap your hands. Give God praise tonight. Lord, we honor you tonight. Hallelujah. We give you praise tonight. You are worthy to be praised. We give you glory tonight, Lord. We honor you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you praise tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. We honor you tonight, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I said amen, amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for victory tonight. I thank you, Lord, for strength in the hearts of people tonight. I thank you that people are being taken to a new level of faith and belief and hope and encouragement tonight. the enemy that would try to destroy and discourage and bring despondency, we bind it in the name of Jesus, and we say unto you, be lifted up in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Be lifted up in the Spirit tonight. In the name of Jesus. We give you praise tonight, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I feel the Spirit tonight, and I give God glory tonight and praise. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you praise tonight, Lord. Honor you tonight, Lord. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Can the worship team, can we sing I Will Not Be Shaken? Amen. I think that's a good song to have some worship to. Amen. Thank you, worship team. You've done a great job this week. Amen. Can all of us just get out of our seat? Come on, let's all of us come around the front for a few moments tonight. And I just want us to do a few things tonight. Come on, let's come around the front tonight for a few moments. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight. In Jesus' name, we give you glory. We give you praise. Come on, just make your way out of your seats tonight. Amen. Praise, oh, can we lift our hands across this building tonight? Come on, I want you to lift your hands across this building. Amen. And if you're in the storm of your life, whatever it may be, I want the word of God that was preached, bring encouragement to your heart, bring encouragement to your spirit tonight. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Go ahead, worship team. Amen. I want us to lift our hands and begin to sing this song. And I'm going to go ahead and start praying for you tonight. Amen.